Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And today we are going to talk about, are you a scapegoat? Are you someone who is the black sheep of your family? Have you always felt you were different? Do you have a hard time fitting into the norm of the people around you? Are you sensitive and empathic? Do you often find yourself the target of other people's hostility? Do you seem to get blamed for everything? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you very well may be a scapegoat. The word scapegoat originates from Scripture, where the sins of the community is cast upon a goat, and then the goat is sent out into the wilderness alone, supposedly to die, because goats didn't stand much of a chance in the wilderness alone. There was another goat that was sacrificed at the altar as a blood sacrifice, so the scapegoat was considered the lucky one, the one who got away. The term scapegoat has been used in the healing and recovery movement as a way of understanding a particular role in the family system, which also is found in society at large. The scapegoat is the one who is blamed for everything, even if it wasn't his or her fault. The sins or burdens of others are cast upon the scapegoat, and the scapegoat is often ridiculed, blamed, and ultimately cast out of the family or the social group because they're seen as the problem. In family therapy, it was recognized that when a child was seen as the problem child in a family, there was a much greater problem within the family system that needed to be brought out into therapy. It was understood that the black sheep or the scapegoat is merely expressing the family pain and dysfunction, while the other family members are repressing it. In a sense, they are the leak in the hose. One who is the black sheep or scapegoat within their family of origin often find themselves continuing in this role in their primary relationships, in school, in their jobs, in social relationships. They hold a certain blueprint on a subconscious level that makes them appear to be an easy target. However, the scapegoat is often the healthiest family member in a family system. They don't do well keeping silent about problems and injustices. They tend to either speak out or act out in some way. For example, an emotionally repressed family system, the scapegoat may be the emotional one, the one who gets upset, angry, sad, or depressed, and has no support for his or her emotions because the family doesn't acknowledge emotions. It is actually unhealthy to suppress or repress emotion, but our dysfunctional society teaches us to do just that. The scapegoat personality is often the empathic or sensitive personality who's not good at repressing his or her emotions or remaining silent when there's a problem. He or she may find expression through art, music, poetry, or writing. Anything that will help him or her to give voice to the emotions that can't be successfully pushed down beneath the radar of one's awareness. When others within the family or societal system deny their own emotional reality and suppress their feelings, they often need someone to blame or pin their uncomfortable emotions on when they do begin to rise up to the surface of their awareness. Unfortunately, they aren't aware enough to take responsibility for what they're feeling, so they find someone more vulnerable to blame. Although the scapegoat, the one who is commonly blamed for the problems and issues within a family or a societal system, is most often healthier by way of being more aware, he or she may not be aware enough to understand the dynamic of a scapegoat. As a result, The scapegoat is prone to acting out through drugs, alcohol, food, or other means, and or falling into depression and maybe even suicide. Scapegoats are victims of bullying. When one is targeted and blamed, they are bullied. The result is often that a scapegoat feels there is something terribly wrong with them, or they feel powerless to change their circumstances. They often have the painful experience of being unloved, abandoned, betrayed, and excluded. Social and family exclusion is one of the most painful things an individual can suffer. We are social animals, and we're not meant to be left alone, without love or support. But this is exactly what happens with scapegoats. They become very isolated at times. Because scapegoats carry the burden of the pain and hatred of their persecutors, the persecutors have no interest in healing or making it right with this individual because they stand to lose their idea of themselves as blameless. So there is no interest in healing or resolving issues. It can be very difficult for the scapegoat to redeem himself or herself. The hope for the scapegoat comes only when he or she recognizes something is wrong and seeks outside help and support. When I was in college, I was enrolled in a counselor's program for drug and alcohol abuse as part of my curriculum. I was asked to attend a certain number of 12-step programs in my community. I was attending with people who were recovering from drug and alcohol abuse, as well as those who were training to be counselors for those abusing drugs and alcohol. Most of the people training to be counselors were also in recovery of some sort. I had recovered from a severe eating disorder and had several years of therapy under my belt, so I already had an understanding of family dynamics and the importance of introspection. It was here I first learned about what it was to really be a scapegoat, as many of the people who attended 12-step meetings recognized their family roles. It was understood that children in a dysfunctional family system typically fell into roles such as the golden child or the hero, the invisible child, and the black sheep. A child could take on several roles within a family system, depending on how many children were in the family and the other allocated roles. The black sheep or scapegoat often found himself in recovery for drugs, alcohol, food, or something else, because being a misfit is very painful and troubling. Because of the lack of emotional support within the family system, the substances being used by the scapegoat were used to suppress the pain. I recognized my own role as scapegoat. First, mildly, I recognized it in therapy for my eating disorder, but I really found it showing up again and again in life situations. I was sensitive, artistic, and empathic. I unconsciously migrated towards people who mistreated me, even though I spent years in therapy when I was very young and was successful in recovering from my eating disorder, I still felt there was something wrong with me. I just didn't fit. I didn't fit in. Scapegoats often find themselves in relationships with people who need someone to cast their shadow onto, such as narcissists and addicts. Narcissists and addicts need someone to blame. They don't take responsibility for themselves and what they are creating in their lives. Instead, they cast their shadow or cast the blame elsewhere. If you're someone who finds yourself in the scapegoat role often and find yourself being attracted to narcissists and addicts, the subconscious underlying dynamic is that when one carries a belief, there's something wrong with me, that belief draws people into one's life that will find fault with him or with her. Although scapegoats are commonly victimized, If you're a scapegoat, you can change your role and stop being a victim. You have to understand that as a young child cast into the role of the black sheep or scapegoat, you learned you were different. And what it was that made you different was not acceptable to others. So you never learned to truly embrace your uniqueness. The subconscious program, I am different and therefore unlovable, will attract to you through the law of attraction the people and circumstances who prove you right. The way to turn this around is to change your inner beliefs that you hold about yourself. You have to learn that what makes you unique and different is to be embraced and celebrated. As children, our differences made us stand out as someone to tease, to bully, or make fun of. The goal for most youngsters is not to stand out, but to fit in. As adults, we need to learn that it's great to stand out with that which makes you unique. The qualities commonly found in scapegoats are truly beautiful and endearing qualities. The sensitivity, the empathy, the creativity, the artistic nature, and the emotional openness and availability that comes with the more healed scapegoat is what makes that individual special. The scapegoat will often be the person who stands up for the underdog because he understands what it is to be an underdog. Scapegoats are also the truth tellers of society. They don't do well with living the lie. They are often the ones who expose the truth, and this doesn't often win them any popularity contests. They will speak out against the injustices they find themselves witnessing. Scapegoats in their hypersensitivity will often see right through people. This makes those who prefer not to be seen very uncomfortable, which will cause that person to target the one who sees through their fragile veneer. And narcissists are great examples. When one sees the deeper truth of who a narcissist is, the targeting usually begins. Narcissists are very adept at hiding behind a mask of perfection, and one who sees through their mask is not welcome. In order to preserve one's facade, he or she will attempt to destroy the one who sees them. This is why victims of narcissistic abuse often find themselves a target for character assassination. If the narcissist can destroy the reputation of the one being targeted, nobody will believe the target when he or she tries to tell the truth. Those who need to see themselves as superior in some way are always looking for people to cast into the inferior role to maintain their superior idea of themselves. Superiors need inferiors. Of course, in reality, there are no superior or inferior people. There are people who excel in one area or another. There are people who are more highly educated, who have more money, more material status, and whose physical appearance most closely fits our society's ideal. But this doesn't make an individual superior. It can make that individual believe or feel that he or she is superior. So we should always be careful not to fall for this idea that we are either inferior or superior to others. We are all uniquely ourselves, and at any given moment, any of us can have more or less than someone else. If we judge ourselves based on outside appearances, we fall into the trap that is difficult to break free of. It is great to embrace and celebrate our uniqueness, our accomplishments, and successes in life. We can learn to celebrate such things without the accompanying idea that our uniqueness, accomplishments, and successes make us better than. For scapegoats, it's important to be aware of falling into the trap of not good enough or inferiority. If the seed of inferiority was planted in your consciousness at an early age, It's time to take adult responsibility and turn it around. You're never inferior, not to anyone. So don't allow someone else's insecurities to cast you into such a role. If you're a scapegoat, having an understanding on how and why you've been cast into this role is extremely helpful. Because you understand that people scapegoat you not because of who you are, but because of who they are. And you can free yourself of the responsibility. You are not responsible for someone else's insecurity or need to be right. You are only responsible for how you act and react to the treatment coming to you from others. Often as scapegoats, we're being asked to be the bigger person, and this means basically to be the elder, even if you aren't older than the person or persons scapegoating you. An elder is one who is more learned and wiser, usually due to their years of experience. This still doesn't make them better than, only more aware, and there's a difference. You can celebrate your own awareness and understand that people treat you the way they do because of their own repressed pain and anger. It may feel deeply personal, but it really isn't. It really has very little to do with you. You are simply the trigger for their repressed stuff. The more you can understand this, the less personal you will take their actions and behavior, even if they're really cruel and abusive. We all have the power to walk away from abusive and toxic people and situations, even if it is in our own families. Once we are adults, we can take our power back into our own hands and make choices that empower us. We certainly don't have to allow people to mistreat us. We need to respect ourselves enough to say no to the mistreatment coming from others. But saying no is different than engaging in the drama. The more we engage in the drama created by someone else, the less empowered we feel. Engaging in the drama may involve trying to convince others to see the truth, attempting to defend ourselves, investing a great deal of our energy in what the other is saying or doing, and using revenge and retaliation. And these are all energy drains. It is far more empowering to walk away and disengage from the drama. If someone is blaming you for something you didn't do or accuses you of something you are innocent of, understand that this isn't about you. It is about that person needing a scapegoat so they don't have to look within themselves at the true cause of their pain and discomfort. You need to be the wiser person and have this understanding. This will make it so much easier for you to disengage from the drama, cut that person loose, walk away, and get on with your life, or in some cases, rebuild your life. Personally, I understand this is much easier said than done. Being a scapegoat can be very painful, and there can be a lot of injustice. You can lose your job, your family, or your social group as a result of scapegoating. It's not that your life is not affected. It can be tremendously affected. But in a case of serious scapegoating, the best revenge is living well and moving on with your life, even after the destruction. There's nothing a scapegoater loves more than to see the victim of his scapegoating suffer and go down. As scapegoats, we often wait for someone to see the truth. We hope for the compassion and the empathy of one or more of the people involved. We hope a member of the scapegoating group will realize the error of their ways and stand up for us or offer us an apology. In all honesty, this is unlikely because the scapegoaters often have the support of the group and they don't want to risk losing their place. They will blindly sacrifice you or throw you under the proverbial bus to save themselves. Scapegoats must develop super thick skin and develop very strong relationships with themselves and with a support network of their own. You don't have to do this alone. There are others. There are others who will understand what you are going through and support you. You simply have to find them. In my work with narcissistic abuse, victims often find themselves very isolated and alone. Even their nearest and dearest don't understand the level of pain and abuse they've experienced. Family and friends who don't fully understand the dynamic may try and minimize the issue, or worse yet, normalize it. And this is why it's important to find a support group or counselor who understands such abuse. If you find yourself in this situation, it's important to understand that you're not alone, that there are others who have also experienced the same or similar issues. Knowing you're not alone can bring a great deal of relief. Having support is really important. Having mirrors for your goodness is important, especially after having so much negativity focused on you as others project their own darkness upon you. Use your role as scapegoat to make you stronger. Understand what it is that makes you a target for scapegoating. And know when I say understand what makes you a target, I'm not saying in any way that you're to blame for the scapegoating that you've suffered. But understand that it might be your sensitive nature, your psychic awareness, your goodness, your beauty, your intelligence, your talents and gifts, your tendency to speak the truth or confront a behavior that is causing others to target you. This doesn't mean you need to change a thing. The things I mentioned here are all wonderful gifts and should be embraced. It's not that you need to change who you are. Developing an understanding of why people target you helps you to disown what is being thrown at you. And if you learn to embrace these gifts within yourself and love yourself for who you are, the stuff people throw at you won't have any place to stick. It is my belief that people will only truly get satisfaction in scapegoating if you play along. You have to engage in the drama and play the game. If you drop out or have no contact with your scapegoaters, they will only be able to target you for so long before the energy drops out. It is much more satisfying to blame someone who is there to take the blame. Scapegoating comes from a need to hurt and punish and avoid oneself. If you are not showing that you are being hurt or punished, or if you don't react or show yourself in any way, the charge drops out. In many situations, like a workplace, for example, you might find yourself leaving work and finding another job. It may end up being a much better job and much more satisfying work. Once you leave and go to a better situation, the scapegoater won't get any further satisfaction scapegoating you and will have to target someone else, perhaps your replacement. This is much more likely to expose the scapegoater because he or she is the common denominator. Even if you stay in your job and take your power back from the scapegoater by setting strong boundaries and not engaging in the drama, the scapegoater is likely to find another target because you just aren't any fun anymore. Scapegoaters enjoy getting you upset and having you retaliate. Engage in the drama and show that you're feeling hurt and punished. This kind of energy is what gives them satisfaction. It feeds their own need for drama. It's food. If you don't engage in the drama, their own need is not being fed. If you openly react in pain, the scapegoater, who is really running from his or her own repressed pain, gets to experience his pain as coming from outside of himself rather than within. So the more you react, the more he or she is getting satisfaction of seeing his or her pain expressed on the outside. and that allows them to further disown their own pain. Scapegoaters enjoy having a team of minions to support them in their case against you. If you drop out, it is entirely possible that the team that has turned their aggressions on you will turn against each other. I had a situation in college where my three college roommates ganged up on me in a very awful and hateful way. Their behavior was so horrible towards me that I had to leave the dorm room and find another living situation. It all started over a broken coffee pot. I accidentally broke one of my roommate's glass coffee pots, and although I agreed to replace it, they used this accident as an excuse to mistreat me. It didn't make any sense to me. Once I left the dorm, the energy completely dropped out. I didn't really see them anymore, and I just moved on with my life. Years later, I ran into one of the old roommates on the streets of Seattle, of all places, and she seemed quite happy to see me. She asked if I would have a drink with her, and I agreed. No sooner did we order our drink, she confessed that she had been feeling so guilty for how they treated me. And she proceeded to tell me that the real reason I was targeted was that there was a man that they were all so in love with who always came around looking for me, and they were so jealous. My old roommate, with some age and maturity, realized how silly and ridiculous the whole thing was and was happy for the opportunity to offer me an apology. I had all but forgotten the whole thing, but she didn't, because she was once a friend of mine and had betrayed me. The betrayal ended up hurting her more than it did me. I never saw her again after that drink, but I gained a new understanding. I never saw myself as someone that people would be jealous of. So the thought never even entered my mind. I had a scapegoat program running from childhood, so it was typical for me to find myself in these kinds of situations. My former roommate's confession helped me to understand that it is often the jealousy and the insecurities of others that cause them to target the scapegoat. It wasn't that I was a bad person or that there was something inherently wrong with me. It was more what was right with me that caused me to be a target. This kind of understanding can help us to heal the original scapegoat wound and stop taking other people's hateful behavior so personally. When we can begin to understand this is about them, not us, we can stop carrying the energy and release it back to the hater. Remember, this kind of energy projected onto you needs some place to stick. So if you heal yourself and love yourself enough to stop owning and absorbing the projections of others, those projections won't have any place to stick and they will return to the sender. Healing is never about hating the hater. It is about understanding them. When we ourselves carry hatred and a desire for revenge, we're swallowing the poison that's been given to us. It is normal and healthy to get angry when there's an injustice, but we need to work through our anger and find resolution within ourselves. We have to remember not to match the vibration of the scapegoaters. One who casts his or her shadow onto others is doing it unconsciously and not aware of the deeper workings of their own subconscious mind. This doesn't make what they do okay. It's actually quite horrible. But as I said before, you have to be the bigger person here. It's not about being superior. It's about being more conscious and aware and approaching the issue from a higher perspective. The higher perspective you can approach the situation from, the less karma you will incur picking up the rope and engaging in a tug of war. If you refuse to pick up the rope, the scapegoaters won't have anyone to fight against. They may realize on some level that they're fighting against themselves. Or not. We can't spend our energy with concern as to what the scapegoaters are doing or what is going on in their mind. The only thing we need to understand is that they are projecting their inner reality onto us. So don't take it on. Let them be mean and nasty. They're swallowing their own poison, especially if you don't take it. It's important to understand what others think of us is not our concern. Of course, we all want to be liked and accepted, but the more unique and authentic you are, the less you will fit in to the norm. We have to build a very strong backbone and stand straight and tall, regardless of the opinions of others. The opinions of others belong to them, not you. Just because someone has an opinion about who you are doesn't mean it's true. You know this. People form their opinions based on their own inner judgments and biases. Once again, this is about them, not you. Terry Cole Whitaker wrote a book called What You Think of Me is None of My Business. I've never actually read the book, but I sure love the title. It's so true. The title says it all. What people think of you is about them, not you. So release your attachment to the opinions others have formed about you and be more concerned about your self-opinion. This is what matters. What you think of you is what matters. You have to be your own best friend. You have to be on your own team. You have to choose people to align with who are of a similar energy vibration, who are kind, respectful, loving, and caring with you. And these people are out there. Love is the most powerful vibration you can align with and will bring you the most healing and happiness. So remember this when your energy wants to match the vibration of what is being thrown at you. Align with love. Be kind to yourself. Nurture yourself. Treat yourself with kindness, compassion, and respect. Don't wait around for others to treat you how you deserve to be treated. Treat yourself as you deserve to be treated. And once you do this, you will draw people into your life who also treat you as you treat yourself. We always draw people into our reality who treat us as we treat ourselves or as we believe ourselves to be. So the healthiest thing we can do for ourselves is to upgrade our self-opinion and self-love. It takes work, I know, but it is the greatest goal one can have for themselves to develop and foster a powerful self-love. So find the jewels in yourself. Find what is beautiful and worthy and focus on this. Allow these beautiful qualities to grow and pull you forward into the life you truly deserve to live. And so it is. Thank you for listening. And if you'd like more information, please visit my websites, narcissismfree.com and pathbacktoself.com. Have a great day.